Mr. Herman.
Poop again! Party on, dudes!
10, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Extreme close up!
Welcome back into the Radcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am Steven.
I'm embarrassed.
All right.
I'm Matt. Sorry.
Okay. Hi, Matt. Yeah. Hopefully you'll be able to deal with your embarrassment.
We're talking about some embarrassing stuff.
We're talking about some embarrassing stuff. Welcome back in. Thank you for joining us again this week. Last week, as you heard or didn't hear, we didn't have a new episode, but the week before that, we did our first Radcast Ramble back doing the show. Hopefully you enjoyed it. If you haven't listened to our first two episodes of the revamp of the show, go back and listen to them, please.
It's Wayne's World. Who doesn't like Wayne's World?
Wayne's World, which
Yeah,
but Wayne's World kind of having a little bit to do with, you know, kind of a connection with what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
And then our Radcast Ramble, like I just mentioned, which we talk about a myriad of things.
Myriad. A virtual cornucopia
of wild, historically accurate things.
Yes.
If you love, if you want to know what we're talking about, if you haven't listened, go back and listen to it.
Please go listen.
And we implore you every time that you listen to an episode, if you are, whether you are an avid listener or a new listener, thank you for joining us. Thank you for your support. Yes. And if you wouldn't mind going to any applicable podcast app, give a rating, give
a
review.
We employ you. Please, we employ you to do it.
Yes, we will employ you to do it. Yes, $5 a review. Don't hold us to that.
Yes, please don't. Hope you're okay getting paid at the end of the month.
Yeah.
If we remember.
If we remember. Yeah. We don't necessarily keep tabs on those things.
No, because you're an individual. We don't want to micromanage.
Exactly.
We're not micromanagers.
In fact, don't listen to authority or your employers.
Yeah.
So don't listen to us.
Yeah. That I fight authority, and authority always – actually, never mind.
Never mind. Anyway,
John Mellencamp's not metal, dude.
Tell people where they can send their complaints.
You can send your complaints. I almost said our complaints. send our complaints. Straight up your ass. You can send your complaints to Instagram. We are on Instagram. We are at the Radcast on there. Cast is spelled with K. Radcast is all one word. I would say I don't think our Twitter exists anymore.
I don't think we should be on Twitter anymore.
Twitter just to stay on social media or whatever, but I'm not quick to getting back to recreating the Twitter, but I'll have to do some investigating because I also don't remember the login credentials.
We'll quickly replace our Twitter with our Facebook, which will very soon here be known as Twin Freaks Media.
Yes,
on Facebook you'll be able to like us on there.
So we're gonna plug something that doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, that's where you can find us. And then all applicable podcast apps. Like we said, rate, review, 5 stars, please. Even if it's just, hey, you guys suck, 5 stars.
Yep.
That's fine.
I know it's a strange line of thinking, weird logic, you suck, 5 stars. But algorithms, we have to adhere to algorithms if we want any sort of exposure.
Yeah.
But
don't say anything at all.
Or don't say anything at all. We are also not delusional to think that this is our only way of doing anything in life. Like a lot of people in the subject of today's episode. For those of you that were with us for the last year and a half and you listened to our show called Sucktastic Cinema, where we riffed on bad movies, however we define that, however we saw it, you know that at the end of that we said, when we're coming back to the Radcast, we're going to consume that idea into one of our monthly segments.
Yes.
And we are here with our first edition of Radcast Riffs. Exactly. And considering today's topic, it's almost kind of like a double meaning, Radcast riffs.
Yeah.
What we mean by riffs, for everything else is stuff that, you know, it's kind of either silly things, bad movies, you know, faux pas in pop culture and blah. So that's the stuff we're going
to
talk about.
To riff on something, to make fun of it.
To make fun of it, to gripe about it in a way.
Exactly.
And today's subject, it's not a bad movie. It's actually a very good
documentary. The
documentary
itself is very, very good.
The subjects of it, however, considering the time that it was made, that is
completely ludicrous.
It's ludicrous.
The culture, the people.
It's absurd. Yeah. It's goofy. It's silly. And the funniest part to us is the delusional subjects are real.
They're playing it super straight.
Yeah.
There are several points in here to where I either were watching it by myself or I look at Steven and I'm like, this could either be, or this is both like simultaneously a great documentary and a hilarious mockumentary, just with how absurd that whole culture was.
Yeah.
It's bordering, it's not even bordering. It's fully into the cartoonish and ridiculous, but these people are serious and they're playing it straight.
Mm-hmm.
And given how ridiculous it is, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's called Decline of the Western Civilization is the trilogy, is the documentary trilogy. And I said earlier there's a connection with Wayne's World because the director of this documentary series is Penelope Spheris.
Yes.
So she directed the first Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to our premiere back on the show with Wayne's World, we mentioned that Penelope Spheris directed that, and we'd eventually get around to talking about Western Civilization, Decline
cool
of Western Civilization, Part 2.
It'd be cool
two.
If we could talk to Penelope Spheris.
That would be cool. Yeah. She's still around.
Oh, shit. Ricky Rackman.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was kind of her street cred and her end with making like something like Wayne's World was her work on this.
She had connection, deep ties to the musical world because of this.
Yeah.
You know, because of this trilogy and especially Part 2, which is what we're covering
today. This is
today.
Part 2. It's called The Metal Years. Part 1 was released in like 1980.
I think
it's about the L.A. punk scene.
Yeah.
It's all documenting these LA music scenes during these portions of like decades. So like 1979, 1980, the LA punk scene. Now 1988,
the metal scene.
What
was Part 3?
It's gutter punks.
Yeah, that's
so
what I thought. Okay.
It's seemingly, I've never seen Part 3.
I've never seen 1 or 3.
Yeah, we've only watched the Metal Years for reasons we'll get into.
Yeah.
But Part 3 is like gutter punks. It's seemingly it's a much more dangerous subculture of punks. I don't know. I'm not going to assume there.
Yeah. I think Penelope Spheris I think she met her husband or former husband or some significant other, something on Part 3. I think she fell in love with one of the subjects.
Interesting.
If I read that correctly.
Uh-huh.
But
very interesting.
Definitely not in this one.
Yeah.
It feels as though she herself has this tongue-in-cheek, like,
get a load of these
approach.
Guys.
Yeah. Just given some of the editing and some of the leading questions she asks and stuff like that.
Which is comedic. It's comedic gold.
Oh, absolutely. And the fact that these people are not characters. Like, they are being genuinely themselves.
Yeah.
And for the most part, their delusion is funny.
Yeah.
And that's a slippery slope in and of itself. Yeah. But anyway,
But Part 2 is the most famous.
Yeah.
Because of the exposure it's gotten.
Oh, yeah.
How
it arguably, I mean, there are so many things that arguably killed hair metal.
Right.
This is one of those big ones that it had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
Like a lot of these bands, you pointed this out, Steven, a lot of these bands probably thought, a lot of the really kind of stupid and unknown ones probably thought this was going to be their big break, but it actually had the opposite effect.
It's quite the opposite.
Yeah. And showed people just how absurd and stupid and misogynistic and cartoonish and destructive this whole scene was.
Yeah.
And people watched this and was like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be involved with
it's
that.
Like, these guys are ridiculous.
Yeah,
there was this very jaded
yeah.
Attitude towards it. So that's where you get, and although it was in Seattle, I mean, you get these hair bands got exposure on MTV, and this movie got exposure.
Yeah.
So that's where grunge kind of starts coming through and start becoming more prominent, because the seeds of grunge were planted in the late 80s.
It was no longer this idyllic lifestyle that you saw like in music videos and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You took a peek behind the curtain and you're like, this is sad.
Yeah.
These people are misogynistic. They're ludicrous. Mm-hmm. It's just a bunch of posturing going on. Mm-hmm. They're delusional.
I think
they're
said destructive. Self-destructive.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, they have no discernible skills besides their music. And I will emphasize, I know to look at it, hair metal was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of rewind and look at like what it's spanning as
we're
kind of
getting ahead of
metal.
Ourselves.
But
our points,
the musicianship is top tier in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
With what kind of music they're playing. They shred.
But given all the music in the movie, the acumen varies from band to band.
Yeah. The musicians themselves, not so much the singers, which I mean the vocals are an instrument, but the guitar and bass and drum.
Yeah, the instrumentals are fine.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent throughout.
Yeah. But when they say in this particular period of time, when it says the metal years, especially the LA metal scene, I guess just in general, the California metal scene,
because
they've got like Megadeth is in there.
Yeah.
And that's mainly just San Francisco.
Yeah, but hair metal was fucking huge for that four or five-year window.
But what they're focusing is, so you have like, they talk to Lemmy from Motorhead.
Yeah.
And they talk to Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons from KISS. Alice Cooper,
Ozzy.
Aerosmith, Oz.
So like legends.
Yeah. But it just so happens that the period of time that metal is being showcased, the more prominent subgenre is glam and hair metal.
That's true.
Which that's what's taking over, like the Whiskey and
the Rainbow
the
Room.
The Rainbow Room.
Gazzari's.
The LA Strip.
The Cat House.
And
that's a good point. I guess it's because it's so prominent on here, I just always assumed, like, I knew it was the metal years, but to me it was just hair metal. Mm-hmm. But I guess I didn't. And there's plenty of talking heads from far more successful and legendary bands in this that they are talking about metal.
Yeah.
Like, they're not specifically saying hair metal. So that's a good point. Like, and being a metal fan more prominently in high school, understanding the subgenres and where they played, that makes sense that this is a metal documentary, but it's going to primarily focus on hair metal because that was the biggest subgenre of metal at the time.
Yeah, and it's the easiest to make fun of.
It really is. If
you watch a Poison music video from like 1987, it's supposed to be glitzy and glamour, scantily clad women, and the guys are in skin tight leather and makeup,
Her
and
hair's
blah, blah.
All sprayed up. Yeah,
which, I mean, again, it's a product of its time.
Yeah, well, and they took their cues from like T-Rex and
T-Rex.
David Bowie, Alice Cooper,
New York Dolls. Like, they took a little bit of everything, and really, what sold was them looking effeminate.
Like,
that's what got, you know, a lot of women at their shows and stuff like that. And
it's whenever older generations talk about this time and how they miss this time and how they don't like grunge because it actually explores like real issues and emotions and stuff like that. And they're like, I just miss when music was about partying and stuff like that. I completely shut them off.
Yeah.
Like, not for my life, but you know, I turn my hearing aid off when they're talking, because it's like, you come from one of the most absurd generations of music.
Yeah.
And this was also surface level.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing more to it past all the makeup and the sex and all that shit. So there's nothing really long lasting about, I mean, that's very stupid of me to say, because there are plenty of songs that are still played on classic rock radio. Mm-hmm. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's very surface, shallow and surface level.
Yeah. And in a way, there's nothing really enduring about your music other than being played.
It's nostalgia.
Yeah, it's nostalgia. You know, you have all these types of bands still have to stick together now and tour with one another. And it's
in together now. Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. A band like Faster Pussycat, they play one of these LA strip bars.
Yeah.
And they're still, even though they've probably toured the world,
not a strip bar, but on the LA strip.
Oh, there's a plenty of
talking
about.
But some of them have devolved into strip bars.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just like these bars. You see a lot of strippers. And yeah. It's like,
yeah,
have some respect for yourself.
I mean, you can come get all dressed up, but if you get in faster, if you take your clothes off.
These are real things that were said by people who seriously meant them.
With no shame.
No shame at all. No shame. Ricky Rackman, I wouldn't be... Ricky Rackman, who's an MTV VJ, did Headbangers Ball, mm-hmm. something like that. Owned the Cat House, which was a club in L.A. Yeah. He's done plenty of Talking Heads on like VH1 mm-hmm. shows. He did VH1 reality shows like Charm School and stuff like that.
Daisy of Love.
All that to say, he's a fixture in that music mm-hmm. scene. I wouldn't be surprised if you look back on that now.
Yeah.
And it was like, ugh.
There's a lot of this that, I mean, if you look at anybody from any of these bands, a lot of them still have the same or close enough hairstyles and still try to dress.
That's embarrassing.
Because they play these nostalgia circuits.
Yeah.
So the reason they still maybe have a residency at whatever iteration.
Carnival.
Carnivals. Yeah. County fairs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's because you're playing to an audience who doesn't want to give up that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Exactly.
And
it's an escape.
Trust me, there's nothing wrong with nostalgia or an escape.
That's what this whole podcast is.
Nothing wrong with it. And if that's the music you choose to listen to 24/7, all right.
There's plenty of hair metal bands that I like a lot of songs.
Exactly.
From. Yeah.
But let's not
belabor the point.
Let's not belabor the point. Let's not treat it as this bastion of high enlightenment or like the greatest music ever, like some of these YouTube comments put.
Yeah.
Let's just treat it as it is.
Yeah. Tame Me Down is not a poet.
No. Tame Me Down from Faster Pussycat.
From Faster
who
Pussycat.
Who is co-owner of the Cat House with Ricky Rackman.
Brett Michaels. Sorry. Sorry, everyone. Yeah. Brett Michaels is no poet.
No, he's not. Some of these guys, like I think I mentioned earlier, Faster Pussycat, they're shown on here as a success story because they started on in the LA strip and then they went out and toured the world. Now they're back to play a show as like a thank you or whatever. I'm like, they still probably play LA clubs.
Well,
now
they cut to their Talking Heads because the way this is edited, it's interspliced Talking Heads with concert footage and stuff like that. And they say that they don't make any money.
Yeah.
They're itemizing all their costs. Mm-hmm. And basically Penelope Spheeris is trying to interject and they're like, we don't make any money. We just go into debt.
Like we don't make any money, but we like to play rock and roll. And like, that's fine.
It's a running theme.
Yeah. It's like, we're just playing rock and roll. And there's at least people too, you can say they've at least been successful. Even if now they're playing the county fair circuit, there's still a demand for them.
Mm-hmm.
The vast majority of the Talking Heads they have, the band, the members of the bands and like these Talking Heads have done nothing.
Yeah.
Like all they are is a punchline now.
Oh yeah. And at least with some of the Talking Heads, you can, and we're going to keep saying Talking Heads. Obviously,
we're not talking about the interviews.
We're
not talking about the band.
Yeah, exactly. They were as far from hair metal as possible. But at least with some of the bands, they'll cut from their interview to them performing.
Yeah.
Some of these interviews, they feature the same people throughout the documentary. And we never see them in a band or performing. They're talking about how, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Yeah.
Well, what if you don't? But I will. I am going to make it.
Yeah, it's like, I just got to sew up my clothes. I'm in a band. When you're the singer, you get all the sex and stuff like that. And it's like, I just like to beat off. I'm the drummer.
Yeah.
It's like, I have yet to see any of your bands perform.
Yeah.
Like the seventh grade dropout. Mm-hmm. It's like, I dropped out in seventh grade. I just didn't like people telling me what to do.
You know?
They never showed him playing or singing or anything. At least with some of these idiots, you'd be like, okay, well, at least you're in a band and
playing
music.
A show.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing the thing
because
it's a mix of people who are in bands and people who moved to the Sunset Strip, moved to LA to be part of this scene to get a piece of that action.
Yeah.
And so they're probably either posturing during their interviews and say, I'm a band. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or they're just there and they're like, I just want to see chicks. And like, there's women they're interviewing who, it's a mix of women who are in bands, yeah, and who have self-respect and who turn their nose up at, mm-hmm, the idiot dudes who like
take advantage of a lot of these women.
And then there are the women who are the groupies who, yeah, want to have as much sex as possible. But it's people who move there and they're probably interviewed like 4 or 5 weeks after, right, they moved there. And they're like, I've had sex every night. I'm in a band. I'm passing out flyers. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. At least some of the bands, they show them passing out flyers. There are people like the seventh grade dropout who they don't show anything.
Yeah.
He's like, but she's like, what if you don't make it? He's like, I am going to make it.
But I will.
It's there's also, we'll talk about the complete delusion of these people.
Right. Yeah. And you've heard it several times already, but that's the word of the day. It's, yeah, delusion.
It's absurdity, delusion.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of hilarity,
yeah,
in it.
Like,
because of their sincerity.
Right. Unintentional hilarity, which is funny.
Yeah.
But also to that, these groups, especially in LA, were a dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So even if somebody said, I'm in a band and, we don't see them performing, they're more than likely in a band, but there probably was a big group of them down in these Sunset Strip areas, yeah, every night, so you could find subjects to get, yep, interviews of a documentary. Probably just the only prompting question was, hey, are you in a band?
Yeah, I'm in a band.
Yeah. A guy wearing a Budweiser 2,000 gallon club
yeah,
it's a hat is like, you look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, would you like to talk about it? And it's because also some of these people you can't pinpoint. They're not all just hair metal. I mean, it's just whatever was popular at the time. Yeah. But it's
because Megadeth's in this, yeah, movie.
But it's the same mentality of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Or as someone would be like, no, I don't do drugs. It's like, bullshit.
You all probably do drugs.
The only reason, yeah, you probably don't do drugs is because you barely have enough money to even buy a 12 pack of beer.
Yeah, exactly. Or. Not anything, but there was one guy in there who's like, I don't do drugs. You're either an addict or a musician. You can't be both. And I was like, are you an idiot?
Yeah. You're only saying that because you don't have money.
Have you ever heard of any band ever?
Well, what's funny is, like we had said earlier, there's actually, because there are the silly people.
Oh, yeah.
Who take up a lot of the time of the documentary. But with, they do have bigger names, and, mm-hmm, that's where there's kind of a balance in the documentary, yeah, because you have a lot of these people who are saying, well, I'm gonna make it, all we do is, yeah, have sex. Well, what's your favorite pastime?
Sex
Getting drunk. I don't headbang. I like to get drunk and have fun and watch them make fools of themselves. And like, all these people were all, their whole existence, yeah, is around playing music,
yeah,
getting drunk, and having sex.
It's around the idea, mm-hmm, of, yeah, what that culture has created, yeah, which this documentary explores kind, mm-hmm, of the pitfalls, yeah, of that.
And they want all of that. All, yeah, they're missing is the money,
yeah,
to really indulge in decadence.
Yeah.
And then it's balanced with people like Aerosmith, mm-hmm, and Ozzy and Kiss and Alice Cooper,
Lemmy,
and Lemmy from Motorhead. And out of all of those people, Aerosmith, Ozzy, Alice Cooper, mm-hmm, all kind of are cautionary tales.
Yeah.
But then they've also, like, in a way, gotten their lives together,
yeah,
in these moments, documentary, yeah, like Alice Cooper and Aerosmith still. I don't know where Ozzy lies on,
yeah,
some
sobriety
of his stuff,
yeah,
and sobriety. But you get the balance of Aerosmith had just released Permanent Vacation,
yeah,
which was their comeback album,
yep,
after like getting sober,
yep,
after
11
the six,
months.
Yeah, the 60s and 70s of, Steven Tyler said,
millions
of dollars went all up my nose.
Yes, Penelope Spears is like, where did it go? He's like, up my nose.
Yeah,
he's like, snorted half of Peru.
But like, they're saying all this, and you get the people are like, oh, sex, drinking, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then you get points in the interviews to where Aerosmith and Ozzy are talking about the dangers of all that stuff,
yeah,
and how, we ruined our lives. We lost,
yeah,
so much money and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And like, we're thankful to be back now out,
yep,
and touring. We're back and better than ever being,
yeah,
sober. And they're showing, you all may want this, but here's what comes with it. Because again, you all have these personalities of going big and, you know, and indulging in these things without which you feel any repercussions. Yeah. But once you get money and that fame you crave, this is what's going to happen to you.
That is very good. It is. It's Penelope Spheeris and the editors and all that stuff. They did a good job in formatting this documentary in that when you cut to the more successful bands, it's they get their interviews, but usually when she's starting another overarching like bullet point, she'll interview them about a subject and then intersplice and offset that with the kids and what their views. So it's like it's these opposite views and experiences and you repeatedly see the people who did it and who have experienced it and understand what's bad about it, and then the starry-eyed kids who just know what they see on TV and stuff like that.
And it's,
and that's very I thought in terms of narrative and storytelling, I thought that was a very good choice.
And these mindsets of the starry-eyed kids, it's not exclusive to
no,
like
that
metal.
Goes in,
that's
anything
just
in
the subject here.
Anything in the entertainment.
I think in the last 10 years, it's been SoundCloud rappers, and and mumble rappers, or whoever else. Like it's whatever, wherever the trend is at, it's trend.
Yeah,
it's wanting to be a part of a trend and doing what you can to be successful at that trend.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to say in lieu of doing real work, quote unquote, because it takes work to do. The good ones take work.
Yeah,
everybody else who tries to really make it and doesn't have any discernible skills or discernment of what makes something good is just copying off of who already did it and did it well. Like, I'm talking about, like, them.
Yeah.
And I completely forgot what my point was in talking about them. But that's what it is now with any sort of trend.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just...
You've got the people who aren't necessarily the innovators, but they have an understanding, like a deep understanding of what makes something good, what goes into something. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who see it on the surface and they're like, it's the same thing with comedy.
Yeah.
Like you see what gets a laugh. Mm-hmm. And so you directly repeat that and you get that cheap pop or you understand why that's funny and you break that down.
And you're able to be versatile.
Exactly.
You're able to know why it's funny and able to apply it in all these different ways instead of just repeating what.
Yeah, exactly.
Bill Burr said.
Yeah, exactly. Like, good
example. Not knock at Bill Burr.
No,
Bill
he's
Burr's
great.
Yeah, Bill Burr's great.
It's a perfect example. We're recording this on May 1st. Yeah. Literally all of social media is exploding with that NSYNC meme, "It's gonna be May," which at its core, okay, haha, yeah, I get it. I like the song. He's saying it's gonna be me, but it sounds like it's gonna be May. Yeah. And I get it. That was funny, like, 4 years ago when I saw it the first time. Mm-hmm. It's like it's like clockwork. It's the same people posting the same meme. And I don't know, like that in and of itself, it's not original. It's not funny. You're just, it's whatever. Like
it's people. It's understood. People want a reaction of some sort.
Exactly.
People want a reaction. They want to feel like they're belonging to something.
Yeah.
Which I completely understand.
I
totally empathize with that. But I also say, you know, maybe understand why something is funny or popular. Yeah. Maybe.
Or try and create your own
thing. Maybe see why it is and maybe see if you can create something else or be inspired by it, but also add your own.
It's gonna be June. It's gonna be September.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really hilarious.
Yes. Hold for laughter. That reminds me of something Conan said. He said, "How presumptuous can you be?
Hold
for laughter."
Yeah, exactly.
But like, listen. All I want, because we quote things and take from things
too.
But like, it's important to know where to be inspired.
Yeah.
Where to, I guess, quote unquote, take from, steal from.
Yeah.
But adding a twist, being original.
And that's kind of, that's what Bret Michaels says in here. Because this is, you know, Poison's in this one of the more recent, quote unquote, recent bands at the time that had really blown up.
Yeah.
And Bret Michaels, he's like, it's like Steven Tyler said, like, everyone is always taken from, like,
the person before the generation before, and you just kind of put your own voice to it. Which you get here, but you also get everyone doing, everyone's either doing like a Rob Halford impression from Judas Priest,
right?
Ronnie James Dio, Bruce Dickinson, like that operatic, high-pitched style. And almost all of them sound hacky and stupid and hilarious.
Yeah.
Especially when we get to who I think is the funniest, most interesting subject. And we could do a whole episode. You could do a whole documentary on the band Odin.
It's unintentional, too, which is why it's funny.
We'll get to it. Yeah. We'll not get into them now.
But the thing is, also, you have to think about the endurance to all of that. Because if you all really want to make it, and you all really want to be out on the road, you're going to be on the road maybe 6 to 9 months out of the year.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to continue to sing like that. You're going to shred your vocals. There's no, and I said, there's no versatility to what you're doing.
No.
Because it's all, they're all so in the moment.
Yep.
And again, I want to say there's nothing wrong with being in the moment.
Yeah.
But also try to figure out, you know, what you want to do in life, like what you want your career path to be, if that is an entertainment. Try and figure out like a means to do it that would have a little more staying power.
Yeah. Well, and I feel like,
there's nothing wrong with planning. You can be in the moment, but there's also nothing wrong with planning too.
And that's sort of a common thing, is just the sacrifice of it all. Mm-hmm. People talk, this is all I have. Like, all I have is rock and roll. Like, this is all it has to be. And one of the guys from the band Seduce, did you get the new Seduce album? All
right.
He's like, it's like, well, because Penelope Spheris is like, something along the lines of, how long do you think it'll take before you get famous? He's like, probably my whole life. Isn't that how long it takes to get famous? Is your whole life or something like that?
Yeah.
Because, and they're from Detroit, and they're imports from Detroit, and they got that Midwestern twang to them, kind of.
Yeah. There's a part of me that applauds the commitment, that applauds the mindset of, but I will make it, but I will do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
But also, the guy that dropped out of seventh grade.
Yeah. It's you got to have some tenacity, but in a way, you also have to be realistic.
You have to have some self awareness, too, which I know is a lot to ask for. These were kids.
Yeah. They're anywhere between 17, 18 years old and their mid 20s.
Yeah.
And, like, that's an age to where, again, you feel invincible. The subject of AIDS comes up.
Yeah, exactly.
And Penelope Spheris is like, aren't you afraid you're going to get AIDS?
Yeah, because
they don't think about it.
That's a point in the movie where they're talking about groupies and having a bunch of sex and like that. And the question is, do you think you'll get AIDS? And people are like, no, I'm not worrying about it. No, and there's one guy who's like, well, I just date girls whose stepdads are gynecologists. So stuff like
All right, good luck with
that. It's like, well, how often is that happening, honestly? Mm-hmm. I wonder how many. See, there's no, like, where are they now?
Yeah.
You can find articles spread out throughout the internet. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't know what how reputable that is. I desperately want, like, a follow-up.
Yeah.
Of where all these people are. I wouldn't be, a lot of them you probably can't find anymore because they got regular jobs. Hopefully, fingers crossed,
hopefully
some of these people got regular jobs and they gave up on this.
Hopefully none of them died from this lifestyle or living on Skid Row or anything.
And and what I was getting at was, like, if we had some, I wonder if any of these talking heads or subjects ever did get HIV or AIDS.
Yeah.
Which I would almost bet that a couple of them did.
I'd say there's a good chance at least a few of them probably got some, if not some sort of STI or venereal disease.
Yeah.
I would almost guarantee.
One of the bands was venereal disease.
Well,
we are venereal disease.
You know, it's kind of a dress for the job you want type deal.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let's talk about some of, like, the bands that they highlight.
Yeah, so like we said, they're the bigger names, and then they mention how, like, Guns N' Roses comes up a few times. This is right after Appetite for Destruction came out, and they blew up.
Well, and
Guns N' Roses, originally Penelope Spheeris wanted them for this movie.
Yeah.
But the Guns N' Roses, like, people were like, no, we're not doing this. Yeah. And plus, like you said, they blew up. When are they going to have time?
Yeah,
so I think that's where the band Seduce comes in,
mm-hmm.
is they were sort of the only time in their life they'll open for Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
I guess, in a sense. I was just making a joke. It was stupid. Sorry.
That's right. Keep going.
What was it? But Guns N' Roses, I was just getting at Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
She wanted them for this mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah. But you mentioned the band Seduce.
Yeah.
There's
Lizzie Borden.
Lizzie Borden. A lot of these are just the bands that performed. Lizzie Borden, who they seem to have kind of a grip on, like, this has a shelf life.
I wonder if that was intentional, because that was one thing I pointed out as we were watching. Because I've watched this documentary,
yeah.
like, for fun, just mm-hmm. like several times.
Yeah.
And every time I kind of sit there and I'm like, I wonder if that was intentional to line these bands up getting progressively delusional.
Yeah.
Like Lizzie Borden, it starts with them and they seem like they're road dogs, but they have a grip on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. They've been doing it a long
yeah.
time. And when they interview the lead singer and the band members, they're talking about how, like, well, you know, we've been here a long time and you need X, Y, and Z and stuff like that. And then Faster Pussycat just kind of goes down the line. They actually went and did stuff mm-hmm. and came back a little more childish.
Yeah.
And then you get Seduce, who is from Detroit. And it's a three-man, and they're less – they have more, like, thrash riffing.
Yeah, they seem more like they're grinders.
Yeah, and they highlight their song Crash Landing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, it's, you know, we just wrote about a plane crash and mm-hmm. kind of the point of view of someone going down on a plane crash, mm-hmm. which was a break from what we had – heard leading up to Seduce
mm-hmm.
with, I mean, their name is Seduce, so you would
right.
think, oh, well, they probably write about sex and
right.
stuff. But it was refreshing because you get that palate cleanser of Crash Landing, because mm-hmm. everyone else, they're just talking about sex and drugs
mm-hmm.
leading up to that. It's like when they're interviewing Faster Pussy, why do you guys sing about sex so much?
Because we like it.
Because we like it.
Yeah. It's a favorite thing.
It's a favorite, yes. Tammy's a sexual monster.
He's
a dynamo.
I'm a love machine.
I'm a love machine.
How, also, if we haven't said it already,
yeah.
this whole thing oozes sleaze.
Oh, yeah.
And scuzziness.
Even, like, just the locations, like mm-hmm. in the clubs, and
it's just dirty.
The graininess on the film,
yeah.
And then the subject matter, it's just very sleazy.
How's
and
some
dirty.
Of your dicks not rotten off yet?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm sure someone had some sort of STD
yeah.
or venereal disease.
Mm-hmm.
And Seduce is the three man, and they seem a bit. They're taking their music a bit more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about like. Chicks and stuff
yeah.
because they ask the members they're like, nah, like if you have some chick who's coming up to you and offering herself to you, she's probably offered herself to all the, like every mm-hmm. celebrity down
yeah.
the line, like they have
conquered ground, which isn't necessarily a flattering thing to say
no.
about a woman.
And that's there's a lot of misogyny in this movie.
There's a ton of misogyny.
Yeah.
Even if people, you know, you're kind of giving a little bit of kudos
yeah,
to
yeah.
Seduce because it's a little different,
yeah,
but they're also
oh, yeah.
pretty misogynistic,
when the
too.
Talking heads, when they're talking about the interviews,
yeah.
when they're talking about groupies.
Yeah.
And something, because we've watched a lot of shows and documentaries on hair metal.
Mm-hmm.
And just given the silliness of it, and something you hear a lot is these dudes were loser loafs.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have any money.
Yeah.
They played in a band.
Yeah.
They basically relied on women who had jobs
yeah.
but loved the music
yeah.
to take care of them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, girl can't get in the house without a sack of groceries.
Jesus
was what
like,
was what someone said in
just,
this movie.
Yeah, it's an un... You know, I said before, they're
yeah.
unashamed. And there's,
yeah.
there's no shame in these guys only
yeah.
seeing women as objects for sex
yeah.
and groceries.
Even if you didn't like a girl, would you go on a date with her if it meant a free meal?
Yeah.
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 yeah. yeah. It's like, well, what are you going to do for these women?
Anything.
Like,
when, you know, when I have some money, I'll get them
the furs,
you know,
I'll get them the nice things,
the
cars, the
Royces.
And you'll remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
No. No,
like,
you're not.
So many audible,
no.
Or, nah.
It's just,
or, no, you won't.
Yeah. It's just, again, and this isn't an excuse. It's the context of the sign of the times and kind of where they're at, which, again, it's unfortunate. I like that there was still the bat, because interspliced between the guys being like, you know, pretty much saying women are only good for a few things. And
women, like in, like Vixen.
Yeah.
The female metal band Vixen.
They're like, who
were successful.
Yeah. Richard Marx wrote their biggest hit.
You know, some of these guys, they could have taken their cues from that. I wonder how many metal hits Richard Marx would have written.
And that's not saying Vixen's success, a brand of women's success, is reliant on Vixen was excellent.
They ruled.
Yeah. And they could play.
They're still playing.
Yeah, they're still playing.
Yeah.
Thanks to Bands Reunited.
Which is more than I could... Yes, thank you. Which is more than I could say for a band like London or Seduce.
So, and some of these people, it's like, How much effort are you really putting into your passion? Or are you just using whatever money you can to buy booze? Which, this is funny to me, because with Lizzie Borden, and this was just an example that I saw from them, but it's more than likely these other bands do it
which
too.
Which they didn't play an original. They played a cover of Born to Be Wild.
Yeah.
And the lead singer's like, Born to Be Wild.
He looks like a cartoon character.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, like they look and sound like cartoon characters. Yeah.
But then they cut to the lead, he's talking like this.
Yeah,
but
the thing is, with the people in the movie, you all complain so much about how you don't have any money, and then you all talk about how you love to party. There's a scene with Lizzie Borden where they're pouring beers on one another. It's like, you sure do waste a lot of beer for people who have no money and like to drink.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's okay, because girl doesn't get in the house without a sack of groceries.
God.
We'll just have one of the girls out there buy us more beer.
We'll just get an apartment with the carpet, because so-and-so likes to pick his nose and needs somewhere to put his boogers.
It's disgusting.
Like, grow up.
Yeah.
God almighty. Grow up. Go get a fucking... trade.
Go get a part-time job.
Hey, bass player, you look like you're good with your fingers. Go become an electrician and get in the small
spots.
Here's
the thing. Your guys' lives begin at like 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then you're up all fucking night. One of you can't get a part-time job.
You'll be
at
more,
like Kmart or something.
Like, you will be your best bet, because all of you talk about how you didn't finish high school, whatever. Yeah.
The guy didn't finish seventh grade.
Like, they didn't finish seventh grade.
I know!
The best route, really, for anybody outside of high school, go to trade school.
Go get a trade,
because
man,
there's always going to be need for trades.
Yeah.
Like, even now, even from the early 20th century, really with the institution of electricity in places, to even now, there's a need for electricians.
Exactly.
There's a need for craftsmen and craftswomen and skilled jobs. HVAC. Yeah. There's all these things. Back then, there may not have been all these opportunities for like working with technology. You still could have become an electrician.
Yeah.
You still could have become someone who worked HVAC and air conditioning, all this stuff.
There are some subjects that we do know what happened to them eventually.
Yeah.
And some of them did give up this life and go do that. Like, they're truck drivers and stuff like that. It's like
completely respectable.
Thank good.
Completely respectable jobs.
Yeah. Steady paying jobs that give you health insurance.
But you know they're harboring resentment.
Yeah.
Some of them maybe harboring.
Yeah.
Either that, or they all got in their late 20s or into the 90s. Not into their 90s, but into the early 90s and into the 90s, when they saw that none of this had any lasting effect.
Yeah.
They're like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
I'm tired of living this way. I'm moving back to Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the interviews is with an quote unquote 18-year-old promoter. But if you saw this person, it's like, there's no fucking way that dude's 18.
Yeah.
Like, it's he probably is like in his mid-20s, late 20s, early 30s, and put on like a maroon wig.
You look through an 80s yearbook, it was a strange
time.
That's
true. But
I don't know
high
what,
schoolers
I don't know what
back
it is.
Then, you're like, that looks like a grown man.
Yeah.
I don't believe this person's 18. They are talking about how a lot of these are like kids that are moving away from home, and like they have bad relationships with their parents and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little insight there. And I will say, as the decadence here is so ridiculous, and I said ludicrous and cartoonish, Penelope Spheeris constructs this documentary in such a way that even in light of all that, she still somehow pulls humanity out of it.
Oh, there are these guys who surprisingly are transparent about it's all under the influence.
Well, yeah, but towards the end, what you get is they all just want to be happy.
Yeah.
They're looking for happiness. Mm-hmm. And they think that metal and being in this band and being successful and being rich is going to make them happy.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it's about they want purpose and they want happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to dig through all that,
all the surface all level the silliness. Bullshit.
Yeah.
But you have one of Ozzy's last interviews in this is like he's talking about sobriety and he's talking about all this stuff and how his wife is managing his money. But and
Sharon.
Sharon.
I don't know if you know, but it's Sharon Osbourne. Get your life together, missus.
That's from
that
Roxy.
That was really good.
Thanks. We watched a lot of Charm
Get
School.
Get your life together, missus.
How was mine?
Close enough.
Thank you.
But yes, it's Sharon Osbourne.
Yeah.
But
Crash Landing.
That's enough. Yeah. That's enough. It is
my favorite Seduce song.
It is very easy to imitate. So
I will say a lot of these songs got stuck in my head, and they get stuck in my head after I watch this.
Yeah, I totally get that. I completely forgot all of them, but like it's understandable.
Yeah.
Anyway, in regards to whether or not this lifestyle brings happiness, or if it or being happy is dependent on mm-hmm. like you finding like enduring relationships and actual genuine connection with people. Penelope Spheris is like, you know, after all this stuff, like, are you enjoying life more? Are you happy?
No.
Like, who knows if that was that was for effect, but Ozzy like seemed genuine. He's like, no, I'm still not happy.
Yeah.
Like, because it's all about how do you see yourself?
Yeah.
You know, how are you making connections with people? Like, are you're drinking this much and treating your body this way because you're covering some sort of trauma or abuse. And that scene in the Chris Holmes scene.
Yeah.
Chris Holmes, guitarist of Wasp.
Yeah.
Which is one of the more famous scenes in the movie.
That's when people describe this movie, if it's shown in like some sort of retrospective mm-hmm. TV show or like a documentary in and of itself, when they talk about Western Civilization Part 2, the scene with Wasp guitarist Chris Holmes is usually shown as this cautionary tale.
Yeah.
It's so sad.
Yeah. He's in this inflatable pool. What are those
floaty?
Called? Like pool floaty. Like
chair.
Pool
he's an inflatable pool chair.
And his mom is sitting in a lawn chair next to the pool. And he's
hammered.
He's plastered.
He is hammered.
And Penelope Spheris is interviewing him. And there are some things in this movie that are set up.
Yeah.
Like there's a scene where it just shows Ozzy pouring orange juice.
And after
and it's
this,
going
we'll get
everywhere.
Some more silly stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's more silly
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, orange juice is going everywhere, and that was fixed. And then there's probably aspects of the Chris Holmes part that are like, it's all true and real what you're seeing, but some of it is
in the director's
comment.
Yeah. In the director's comment. Because he's in this chair. And she's asking him questions about success, and he is slurring his words. Mm-hmm. He's talking about how like he hates being famous.
He hates
and all
himself.
Stuff.
He drinks because he hates himself.
It's like she asks him, why do you drink?
Mm-hmm.
And something that's always stuck with me is, and breaks my heart, mm-hmm. is the way through slurred speech he says. Because it makes me happy.
Yeah,
like it's just such a such a tragic mm-hmm. human moment. And Chris Holmes is still alive. By the way,
he's still alive.
Yeah,
by
he's
the way.
Sober from what I understand. Mm-hmm. But still, this is such a, I mean, use the similar term, the same term, sobering.
Yeah,
and it's just what always sticks with me is the way he says, "Because it makes me happy,"
mm-hmm.
and he said, "It lets me be free."
Yeah,
like, it just that. Destroys you.
Yeah.
Because that is a human moment mm-hmm. of like just being disgusted with yourself mm-hmm. and you hate yourself and your decisions and you know it's bad, but you just, like I said, they just want happiness.
And you don't have a healthy concept of self-worth.
Yeah.
Whether or not you grew up around it or seen examples of mm-hmm. it. So your self-worth is your success and your popularity and how you can bed all these women and how much you can drink people under the table, because that's where people are giving you encouragement over. That's where people are giving you attention over, but you don't have a healthy understanding of it and being happy with yourself and you know, being okay with yourself and finding, like, I mean, I've said already, finding healthy relationships, genuine relationships with people who will build you up in healthy ways. And that's a recent concept in the last 15, 20 years. So this is, it's long before any of these people dealt with any of this stuff.
Yeah.
So the immaturity of these 18 and 25 year old men and women who see this love and these ideas of acceptance in the music and the LA strip and the sex and in the alcohol, I don't give it a pass because it's still unhealthy, but I can kind of give it a pass. I can chalk it up to immaturity. What I don't give a pass is to a 64-year-old pervert who runs a club who preys on teenage girls and young women and who takes advantage and probably keeps them perpetually inebriated
what he wants. Who are you referring to,
Steven? I'm referring, he was what's the word? A magnate in the LA music scene.
A fixture.
A fixture since the 1960s. A man by the name of Bill Gazzari, who...
Like just stereotypical kind of sleazy club promoter.
They show him he's this he's a snake and he's a pervert and he's a predator. He's a
movie character.
Historically, he is a, like Matt said, he's a fixture in the LA music scene in the 60s and 70s because Van Halen played there every night.
Yeah.
The Monkees filmed there. Like, they filmed, it was the backdrop for a promotional video for Huey Lewis and the News.
Yep.
And all, there's a lot, The Doors played there.
Yeah.
All these big bands in LA came through and played at Gazzari's. It started as like an Italian restaurant, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
but the only thing is, he
was... I don't know why. Gazzari's not Italian.
but he was so for... reaching a younger audience.
Because he's
younger,
a fucking predator.
And men, he was for men and women, but he also, he's very much of the mindset of, I liked the 18-year-old girls when I was 18, and I love them now.
Yeah, and and at the beginning of the movie, they're talking about the aesthetic and the appearance of these hair metal bands and how they look like women and stuff like that. And he's like, well, I got to do a double take, and I got to go back to the 18-year-old girls.
Yeah.
You're such a sleazeball. Yeah. And you know, he probably has his own file, his own filing cabinet down at the police station of all the sexual harassment claims against him.
That's
I would almost bet any amount of money.
If anybody stepped up to report
because that's true.
He was a big deal.
If you wanted to make it in L.A., you've got to go through Gazzari's at some point. Because
he would have these music, these like musical acts, but he also had these...
He wouldn't call it a strip show. Let's keep it classy. Just hot rocket chick stuff.
Miss Gazzari dance. Yeah,
these sultry dance contests.
Yeah. Which are when he made that announcement, because he basically called out some girl for wearing like G-strings and stuff.
Yeah, too scantily clad.
Have you seen the dancers we've seen up to this point? There's little to no difference between what she was wearing and what they're wearing. And he's like, you want a strip show? Well, all right.
Boo. Boo.
Because they were booing.
It's like, no, this isn't that kind of show.
Yeah. And in line with that, I mean, Ricky Rackman, we were talking about earlier, he seemed like he's grown up since then. But his, we had mentioned earlier, his whole mentality is, you know, I like the strippers, I like the chicks, I like when the stripper chicks come in and they wear very little clothing.
Yeah, yeah, we turn up the heat so they take their clothes off.
Yeah,
so it's like, and Penelope Spears is like, there's a lot of girls coming here wearing lingerie on the outside. He's like, yeah, I like that.
I like that. Yeah. But
I like that.
I like that. And like, that's laughable.
Yeah,
But this Gazzari guy, you know, he also likes to really to sing the praises of the most comical group in this documentary, which is Odin. Now, before we talk about Odin,
will say Ricky Rackman is more akin to like the little kid that gets is more like a little kid rubbing his
rubbing
hands.
His
like,
hand.
Ooh, I like that. Whereas Ghazari is like a grown is an old man.
An old man who would die a couple years later.
You can excuse the kid who can still grow out of that. Mm-hmm. But Ghazari is who he is going to always be and always has
sexual
been.
Sexual predator.
And he's a predator and mm-hmm. he's a sleazeball mm-hmm. and he's the worst of the worst. He's the stereotypical sleazy club promoter. Mm-hmm. He's disgusting.
Yeah. There's this band, London, who's been doing what they do since 1979, and these guys all look like they're in their 30s
and
now.
This is 88,
this
right?
is 88.
Yeah.
And
probably 87 when it was filmed, but still, like 87, 88.
Right. But there's a moment in this to where in the club, they're playing in a club, and they create these, like, concussion, like, smoke bombs that go off during one of their songs, Russian Winter. And there's
like a Russian winter!
Yeah, and then there's the hard camera is on the lead singer kind of doing his little spiel. And when they start into Russian Winter, like, it builds and builds and builds, supposed to crescendo, and then the song drops in. And as the song drops in, there's an explosion that goes off. And it's a big explosion, and it looks like the way the camera's on it, it looks like in Spinal Tap when the drummer spontaneously combusts.
Yeah, exactly. And plus, the guitar player for Odin looks like the keyboardist in Spinal Tap.
Yeah, exactly. But with Odin, let's just talk about some of how unintentional comedy with Odin, because Odin's the main one that we're like, this is the subject of a mockumentary.
So I have bullet points of the highlights of Odin.
Yeah.
First off, the Ghazari dude, it's like, he's gonna be bigger than David Lee Roth, the lead singer who he wasn't.
No.
And it's like, and then he gets on stage, he's like, here they are. Oh, and he's talking to the camera, and he's like, plus the singer's a foxy guy, which, I mean, he's a good-looking dude.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
And his hair wasn't all, like, sprayed up, like, teased and that. He's more of the long, natural.
Whatever,
long,
you know.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And Ghazari gets up there, and he's like, please welcome to the stage. They're my boys. Odin. Odin.
Odin. Odin.
It's Odin. Just him saying it. Yeah. I'm sure there's some people in the crowd saying it, but you don't hear the crowd at all. And he's just Odin.
You don't even see any of them mouthing it.
Yeah. And then the gal that won the Miss Ghazari dancer the previous year, who is like
inebriated each time she's
been
interviewed.
You can tell that she's under the influence of something because he just seems really spacey and out of it. Mm-hmm. And she'll just be like getting up there in front of a million people and just doing it.
It's like, well, what happens when you forfeit the Miss Ghazari dance crown? And she's like, I gotta focus on my modeling and my actressing.
Yeah, and Penelope's Fierce is like, are you gonna miss it? And she's like, no, I just want to give it to someone else. I'm ready to just be done. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell it's like she's. There's a moment of honesty there. Like, I am so done with this because she was probably basically kept sedated and probably was just passed around between Ghazari and his ilk. And you know, Ghazari did just terrible things to her. And I don't know if any of that is true, there's no way it's not true. Mm-hmm. And just she again seems so out of it and spacey. And that moment of honesty where she's like, no, I'm not going to miss it. Like, I can't wait to get to my modeling and actor scene and just give it to somebody else kind of thing. But she comes over and she starts going, Odin! Odin! Mm-hmm. And so now it's just two voices. Yeah. Odin! 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 And then Odin comes out.
Right.
And then every member of I wrote down every single thing about the band is absolutely tailor-made for a mockumentary.
Yeah.
You don't need to adjust anything. Mm-hmm. There's no...
Yep.
Yeah, take this idea and we'll tweak it here, tweak it here. No, literally beat for beat.
Mm-hmm.
This is a Spinal Tap-like mockumentary of hair metal.
Yeah.
But it's serious.
Yeah, like the lead singer of Odin, the way he sings.
Oh, yeah, like he's
12 o'clock.
12 o'clock high.
Yeah, it's the ridiculous.
He's wearing assless chaps.
Yeah, it's the over exaggerated style of singing you would use to make fun of hair. I mean, the show Metalocalypse had a character called Roxo the Rock and Roll Clown.
Dr. Roxo the Rock and Roll Clown. I do cocaine.
Yeah, like he did.
I do a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, like it's done to make fun of that style, but it's done totally serious. The
plus he's shredding his throat. Probably.
Oh yeah, the bass player, the body of the bass player's guitar looks ridiculous, and I just thought it'd be funny. Like if this were a mockumentary, each time you go back to Odin performing, it looks more and more ridiculous. Like eventually shaped like a bus, and then eventually shaped like a solar system, and he has to play with his arms all the way out wide.
Because cut between their performance and their interviews are in Penelope Spheeris' hot tub.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's them surrounded by a bunch of girls in a hot tub. Mm-hmm. And it does get sad because the lead singer talks about how, like, this is what he's meant to do. And if he can't do this, then
he might kill himself.
And that's terrible.
Yeah.
And you sit there and you feel bad. You're like, oh, these are real people.
Mm-hmm.
And the lead singer, it didn't end up killing himself.
Yeah.
Didn't make it in music, but you said he was like a truck driver.
Last time I read, and this is on Wikipedia, who knows when it was put in by who.
Yeah.
But he was like a Teamster truck driver for like the movie industry.
Yeah. But even in the ways that the band dynamics is tailor-made for a mockumentary, you've got the lead singer who's the most good-looking, the bass player who's second in command.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah. Him and the lead singer had the most girls around them. The guitar player, who's short, hairy, stumpy, ugly, looks like he's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, which I said would be funny if they cut. He's with a girl who obviously looks uncomfortable sitting there with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the hot tub talking, smoking a cigarette, talking about, you know, how they're going to make it. And then they cut to another band member, and I thought it'd be funny if they cut back to him. He's wearing a different colored wig.
Right.
Like if this were a documentary or something. But no one draws attention to it.
Yeah,
no one draws attention. Yeah, no one draws attention to it. So there's their hot tub stuff and their performances. And you sit there, and it's the most entertaining and the best part of the whole documentary. Mm-hmm. And like I think I said at the top, we could do a whole episode
if you look at it, comedically, there's so much material there.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And you could do a whole document. I mean, we can't get it now, but I would have liked a whole documentary just about Odin.
Yeah. But there's so much to talk about. Mainly like the stuff with Odin. Like Matt said, I mean, I think we pretty much covered it. So I don't know if we'd have to go back and do a whole episode. If you all are interested in watching it, if you all, again, like we said at the beginning, it's a good documentary.
Yeah.
It's really well done. It's on Prime.
It's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube free. And it's bookended with actually like good music from the metal scene. It opens with a Motorhead song and ends with a Megadeth song.
Well, exactly. And I know we're getting to the end, but we'd be remiss if we didn't at least. The documentary highlights the opposite side of metal, and you have interviews a parole officer who has like a metal deprogramming program.
Like a conversion therapy.
Yeah, which they show like B-roll of kids coming in and giving up like their metal
apparel,
accoutrement.
Paraphernalia. Yeah.
And she's saying like, this is a dog collar. You put it for this and it's used for this. This is a homemade like spike wristband and it's used for X, Y, and Z.
This is a homemade explosive device.
That was really a bomb.
Sick world we live in. Sick people.
But the most famous part of her interview is they're talking about the devil horns. The Maloik.
Yeah.
As Ronnie James Dio created it.
Mm-hmm.
He got it from his grandma. Rockin' Granny.
Rockin' Roll Granny.
Rockin' Roll Granny. But they cut between like kids who talk about what they use the devil horns for, be like, metal, or like
rock
you gotta freak out the
metal.
Jesus Crispies over there, something like that. And then it cuts the parole officer who's like, it means the sign of the beast. And it, so if you're at home listening to this, you know what the devil horns are.
Yeah.
It is transformed to just being that universal rock and roll hand, that symbol. Make it right now if you're listening. And see if you can pick out a 666 in there. Because she goes into this very convoluted way of how making this,
you get a 666 in there.
You can kind
of, and I'm pretty sure she goes over one part twice.
Yeah.
One part of her hand twice. Mm-hmm. So anyway, in this documentary, it poses the opposite end of the spectrum.
It shows this kind of height of satanic panic and in the 1980s, the Reagan 1980s, and you have this person who is leading a coalition that sees it as a danger.
Yeah.
And and this is where I'll be like, calm down. Okay.
Yeah, take it easy.
Of these,
it's music.
Yeah. Most of these kids are just listening to it because they enjoy it. They're not, they're not wanting to be destructive. They're not wanting to do, you know, there's one person, he's wearing a Slayer shirt and he's like, you know, I like hearing songs about death and destruction. I don't want to do those things.
I don't actually do that stuff.
And Penelope Spheeris is like, are you a violent person?
He's like, no.
So it's like horror movies. Like, it's fun to watch.
Exactly.
But like, I don't want to do any of that
stuff. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it's all things you're not indulging and you're not really fantasizing about
it.
And of course, there are instances of that.
Absolutely. But those are more deep-seated issues with that person. It's not just the music.
That's just media in general.
Sure.
We'll take the most prominent instance of something to help justify their belief and like being against them. It still happens this day. It's always going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because as long as somebody is sided against something, they're going to find anything they can to justify.
Everyone has an agenda.
Yeah, everyone has an agenda, and they want people on their side, and it's bullshit.
They want to force their own narrative.
There's no nuance anymore.
Of course not.
But the very end of the documentary, which I think this was intentional, because
absolutely,
you get the last band we see talking about metal in the music scene
is
Megadeth, who is T-shirt and jeans.
They make technical music. Yeah. They write about politics and religion. And stuff
Dave
like that.
Ellefson, the bass player for Megadeth, I think ever since they started. If not ever since they started,
there was a time in which he was out of the band.
He's been the longest tenured bass player in there. Dave Ellefson talks about how we have to be on our game. We have to have our chops in order. We can't be going on stage.
It's very technical music.
Yeah. He's like, it's very technical music, and we're all about our music, and we want to play it well.
Yeah.
And the drummer at the time is like, we're not all about this glitz and glamour and gussying ourselves up.
We just need a
wall of marshals and our instruments, and you know that's a show for us. And and then Dave Mustaine is talking about how like, you know, earlier in the thing, it's funny because it shows a band like Aerosmith talking about how they were, or no, it was Poison, who is a lot of crotch rock and party music.
Yeah.
It's Poison who's successful talking about their musicianship.
Yeah.
And then you get a band like London who's done nothing in like the 10 years they've been out on the scene talking about how like, you know, fame doesn't mean you're a rock star. I got a bigger dick than all of them.
Yes.
And then you get Dave Mustaine who's like, it's not, you know, like none of that matters about this, like it's about the music, man. It's not about the size of the pencil. It's how you write with it.
It's how you write your name.
It's how you write your name.
Yeah.
Like, and that is, I think, the idea that Penelope Spheris is trying to hit home is like all of this that we've done to build in the documentary so far, how I see it and how metal music kind of should be in this vein is focusing on the music and on the art and on staying true to who you are, and that's how you'll make it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, though, it's the work you put into.
Yeah,
it's the self. Because
Dave Mustaine's like, I'm always gonna be me.
Yeah, I'm
like,
always gonna be
it's
me.
It's not about changing.
The drummer's like, at the end of the day, we play this music for ourselves.
Yeah.
So like, it's staying true to yourself, and that's where you'll find success. Mm-hmm. And it ends with
follow your heart.
Yeah, follow your heart.
Out of their shells. Coming out of their shells tour.
But it ends with Megadeth.
Yeah.
And Megadeth is still enduring music.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, metal. Metal has become a paradox in the fact that it's so popular, but it's also still kind of underground.
Yeah.
Again.
Well, and the song they're playing is In My Darkest Hour.
Yeah.
Which is about loss and mourning and like just being completely down on yourself and stuff like, and you know, I'm simplifying it. It goes a lot deeper than that, but it highlights the type of song that they write.
You can only sing about, you know, dancing with the devil so much, or having sex so much, or doing drugs so much.
Yeah. In My Darkest Hour, it's about It's shortly, Dave Mustaine wrote it shortly after the loss of Cliff Burton, mm-hmm. Metallica's bassist.
Yeah.
Dave Mustaine was in Metallica before right. he started Megadeth. He was kicked out of Metallica and then he started Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
So that song is about loss.
Yeah.
It's about mourning your friend. It's mm-hmm. about the darkness you go through
yeah.
when mourning your friend.
And it's just going to show, and it's highlighting that all these people are starry-eyed dreamers.
Mm-hmm. There's
nothing wrong with that.
Dreamer!
But you have to have a plan of action, how to yeah. apply that, what kind of work you're going to put into. Mm-hmm. And does your art have substance?
Right.
Because what really endures throughout the ages...
Sex. Is,
yes. is... Does your art mean anything?
Yeah.
Like, what are you putting into it?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's fun to put on Nothing But a Good Time.
Yeah.
But like,
does that really connect to people emotionally?
Yeah.
Like, when they need it?
Yeah, exactly. So,
well, yes, if you want to have a good time, but other
like,
than that.
Yeah, it's, do you want to live a hollow lifestyle of just yeah. partying?
Yeah.
You know, but it just, you know, substance helps your art endure.
Pressure and makes diamonds.
Yeah, and if you, and if you want to make a career of something that you love, you know, or not, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there has to be something behind it.
Yeah.
Instead mm-hmm. of it just being shallow.
Yeah, and that's why it eventually died off.
Yep.
I mean, in terms of being mainstream popular.
Yeah.
It's still around, obviously, mm-hmm. but more on the nostalgia circuits like we mentioned before.
Yeah. But that's Decline of Western Civilization,
yes.
Part 2.
Promise we're going to have funnier episodes
yeah, that,
about the stuff we
that,
riff.
Yeah, that was more so riff in the... that was more so rant.
Yeah, exactly.
But that was more
Radcast
so,
rant. Yeah.
And we had Sucktastic episodes to where we
yeah.
just ranted on things.
Yeah.
But the idea is still the same to where we're taking something to where either it's a subject, it's
yeah.
a movie itself, music,
yeah,
whatever.
There's plenty of comedy fodder here.
Oh, yeah. But, for sure.
Yeah.
But if anything, it shows the deeper
yeah.
kind of like how problematic
yeah.
that lifestyle
yep.
can be. And I think that was the point
yeah.
of the documentary.
Absolutely.
So again, thank you for listening. Hopefully
thank
you enjoyed that. I know it wasn't chock full of jokes.
Whatever.
In later episodes,
yeah.
you know, it's depending on the
hopefully,
subject,
yeah,
it'll
yeah.
be that way too.
Yeah.
Or will be that way. But hopefully you still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you in the ranting, riffing, whatever you
right.
want to call it. Hopefully you found some substance
yes.
from us.
Please.
Yes.
Please.
But thank you all
thank
for
you.
Listening.
Yes.
Thank you so much always. And until next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude? You can be rad. We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.